We're doing a quick review of the Book of Devarim. And the Book of Devarim is really a separate book in the Torah, in the sense that much of Sefer Devarim is a review with the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of the 40 years, before he's going to leave the Jewish people, he's going to review with them what happened these last 40 years. And part of this review is rebuke and preparation for entering Eretz Yisrael. So when we think of Chumash Devarim, the whole book of Devarim, we should remember highlights. So we'll just do a quick review of the book of Devarim, and then we'll start going parsha by parsha. There's the review and the rebuke. There is the review of the Ten Commandments in Vayet Hanan. There is the stressing of the fact that we are unique. God chose us. And we are unique in that no other nation had revelations like Sinai. No other nations had Exodus, that God just takes one nation out from within another nation with such miracles. And these are miracles that point to the truth of Judaism. Moshe Rabbeinu clearly says that. Just take a look at world history. It's never happened before. Can any other nation claim that God appeared before 2 million people? Can any other nation claim that God took this nation out from another nation with so many miracles? So that's a highlight. That's Parshas Veschanan. Veschanan really is a unique parsha with a lot of the basics of Jewish faith, and it reviews the Ten Commandments. And then we have Parshas Shema Yisrael, the mitzvah, tefillin, and mezuzah. And Parshas Ekev, we have the seven species. We have the V'hayom Shemoa, also tefillin and mezuzah. Parshas Re'eh, we have the commandment for establishing people on the two mountains, the blessings and curses when we enter the land of Israel. We have the kosher and non-kosher food, and the commandments of the holidays of the Jewish people. Parshas Shoftim is the judges. If we're going to quickly run forward with the highlights of the book, we have the commandments that pertain to false prophet and the death penalty for false prophet. And then in Kisetze, we have the parsha that is most suffused with mitzvot. We'll quickly run through it in our specific review. Parshas Kisavo, we have the review of the curses, right? Moshe Rabbeinu's own review of the curses, what happens if we don't keep the Torah. We always read that 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah. Nitzavim really introduces us, Nitzavim and Vayelech, to the last days of Moshe Rabbeinu, in which Moshe Rabbeinu tells us the song of Ha'azinu, and the blessing of Vezos HaBracha, till Moshe's passing at the end of the book of Devarim. So that's a quick overview of the book. Now we'll go parsha by parsha. Parshas Devarim, so Moshe Rabbeinu starts the review of the 40 years and the quick rebuke of what we've done wrong. And Moshe Rabbeinu reminds us how he appointed leaders and how we sent out the spies and they came back and got us all riled up and we sinned. And then there was the decree to spend 40 years in the desert, and at the end of those 40 years we had the war with Sihon and Og. And after that war, the 2.5 tribes decided to take that portion on the eastern side of the Jordan. And the parsha concludes with Moshe Rabbeinu commanding Yoshua that he's going to lead us into the land of Israel. And just as he saw how we conquered these nations, so too he shouldn't fear. He's going to be successful in conquering the land of Israel. And that brings us to Parshas Veschanan. You saw we summarized the whole parsha with 7 points. Right? You guys see the 7 points on your sheet. Okay, Veschanan. So Veschanan, Moshe begged. And the beginning is Moshe's prayer. He begs God, let me enter the land of Israel. And God says, you're not. God says, stop asking. We have a very important mitzvah in Veschanan. Hashem tells us, lo sosifu. You're not allowed to add to the mitzvahs of the Torah. You're not allowed to detract from the mitzvahs of the Torah. We have a very important philosophical point. God tells us, you should know that the nations will admire you when you keep the mitzvot. Very often we think if we'll be more like them, they'll admire us more. The Torah tells us no. They'll admire you so long as you're faithful to Judaism. Then they look at you and they say, what exceptional laws you have. We have the special commandment, remember what happened at Sinai. Remember that God revealed Himself. Remember that when God revealed Himself, there was no form. There was no form of animal or star or anything else. God does not have any physical form, and don't make idols. And God warns us, if you do make idols, don't think you'll be different. Just like these nations were exiled from the land of Israel, so too will you. Moshe Rabbeinu points out to the Jewish people, Ata Hor'eta, you were shown extraordinary things. You were shown miracles when God took you out of Mitzrayim. And you were shown the revelation at Sinai. And these two things are unique to Judaism. No other religion can claim that. That's why the two other major religions in the world all begin with Judaism. Judaism was right, but they couldn't deny what everyone knew at that time. We have the mitzvah to know that God is singular, to know that there is no other, to take time to understand this and know this. This is a mitzvah. At any moment that one thinks God is the only one, He created, He's running the world, so one's in fulfillment of this mitzvah. And the Torah points out how Moshe Rabbeinu loved mitzvot, that now that Moshe Rabbeinu had conquered the eastern side of the Jordan, Moshe Rabbeinu had a partial mitzvah he could perform, setting aside the three cities of refuge. Really, there were supposed to be six, three inside Israel and these three out of Israel, but he could only do three, so he did as best he could. And then we have the Ten Commandments in Parshas Veschanon, and that's what Parshas Veschanon is famous for. Moshe Rabbeinu reviews the Ten Commandments, and there are slight differences, as we know. So the Ten Commandments we know are in Parshas Yisro, that's when they occurred. And then the review of the Ten Commandments are in Parshas Veschanon. We have the Parsha of Shema, again a stress of God's singularity. If there's one point that's stressed throughout the book of Devarim, it's that God is singular and we should not worship idols. We should not intermarry. We should not accept the nations of the land of Israel. We should not serve idols. God is singular. We should not serve idols. Moshe Rabbeinu keeps stressing this point, and Moshe Rabbeinu did this with good reason. As we know, history proved that the first thing we fell when we entered the land of Israel, we fell because we served idols. This was our problem throughout the centuries directly following Moshe's passing. In Shema, we know we have the mitzvah to love Hashem, we have the mitzvah to have tefillin, we have the mitzvah to write mezuzahs. In the mezuzah, we have the parasha of Shema and Vayom Shemar. And we go on to Vayaki Shalchavincha, when your son will question in the future about what are all these laws, you'll tell him, God took us out of Mitzrayim and He brought us to the land of Israel and gave us these mitzvot. And that is one of the four sons. We know the Torah tells us four times that our children will question what we're doing. There are four different times the Torah tells us that. And we say this is a reference to the four different types of children one will have. And in Veschanon we have the smart son who asks the details. What are these different types of mitzvot that you have? We have the commandment not to make a pact with one of the seven nations. And God tells us, you are special. You are my special nation in the world. You are my Am Sgula. And don't think you were chosen for your numbers. You weren't chosen because of anything like that. You are special. So those are the 15 points of Parshas Veschanon. Yeah, Yonatan.
The four sons of the Parsha, is that connected all to Pesach?
Yes. When we say on Pesach that there are four sons, we're referring to the fact that throughout the Torah we find four times that the Torah says your son will ask you in the future, and the Torah says different answers you'll tell him when he asks you. They all revolve around Yetzias Mitzrayim. This is the smart son. This is one of the four times that the Torah tells us your children will ultimately question what you're doing. And that brings us to Akev. So the first point the parasha tells us is keep the mitzvot and you'll be blessed. If you enter the land of Israel and think, hey, we're outnumbered, so God tells us, I'm fighting for you. It's not a question of numbers. The reason you will succeed is because I am fighting for you, and I'll send the special bug called the tzirah, which will help you in your wars, it will blind your enemies, etc. God tells us, don't anticipate that you will conquer the land swiftly. I will do you a favor and have you conquer it slowly so that you don't have a situation that the land is sitting desolate and wild animals take over the land. But rather, you'll conquer it at the pace that you can inhabit it. part of what Torah tells us, you should know you're getting a very special land. And here the Torah enumerates, when praising the land of Israel, the special the seven species which are unique to the land of Israel. They're called the pride of the land of Israel. Eretz Chito, Soro. God says, you know what kind of land you're coming to? It's a land of wheat, it's a land of barley, it's a land of grapes, it's a land of honey that comes from dates, figs, it's a land of pomegranates, it's a land of olives, and the land of dates. So the seven species are enumerated, and following that, God says, and you'll eat, you'll be satiated, and you will bless God. And we have the mitzvah of Birkat HaMazon. God warns us, things will go well, you're going to have this wonderful land, don't be proud. Don't forget Hashem. You might think, it's my strength, it's our wonderful army, that's why we conquered the land of Israel. God says, no, you do that, you'll ultimately forget Hashem, you'll serve idols. No, don't do that. Don't become proud. That will lead you to forget Hashem. And part of what we have to do is remember how, when things were going well, what happened? We angered Hashem. Moshe went up to Sinai and we did the golden calf. And then Moshe has the famous line. He says, now hear Israel, what's God asking you already? What does God want of you? All He wants is you should be God-fearing people, you should go in His ways, you should love Him, serve Him with all your hearts and all your souls to keep the mitzvos. And what? What does God want? That it should be good for you. Our sages say, what do you mean, what does God want of us? It's this huge, long list. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, what's the big deal? What's God asking of you already? So our sages say, yeah, for Moshe, it was, what's the big deal? Just keep the Torah, right? Moshe continues and reminds us that the land of Israel is not like the land of Egypt. It's a land that counts on rainwater. And this is because God says, I'm constantly watching this land. I'm connected to this land. If you perform, I will give you rains and things will go well. If you don't perform, there will not be rain and you will have to repent and pray and then only then will I give you rain. And here we have a reference, Mereshita Shana V'Adachita Shana, that God says, I judge a year at a time. And Rosh Hashanah, I judge what the whole year will look like. And then we have the parsha of the Hoyom Shemoah that we have in our tefillin and in our mezuzah, that if we keep the mitzvah, so God says, I'll make things plenty for you in the land of Israel, and if not, you will be exiled from the land of Israel. And even in exile, you have to keep the Torah and teach the Torah and keep the tefillin and keep the mezuzahs. And if you do things right, then you'll have longevity on the land of Israel. And that brings us to the end of the parasha, where God says, keep the mitzvot and you will conquer the land of Israel. No one will stand in your way. We're up to Parshas Re'eh. Parshas Re'eh, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people when they enter the land of Israel, they have a special commandment to take two mountains, Har Gerizim and Har Ebal, and establish, the Jews split them half on this mountain, half on that mountain, and they'll all declare, blessed is a person that keeps the mitzvot, cursed is he who does not, and they'll enumerate, and everyone will accept to keep the Torah and accept that they will be blessed and cursed if they do and cursed if they don't. We have a commandment to destroy all the different places of idol worship and the different forms of idols in the land of Israel. After the Torah tells us destroy the idols, the Torah also tells us and set up a special place of service before Hashem. In contradistinction with the idols that you're going to destroy, when it comes to Hashem, there you're not allowed to destroy. And not only that, you're supposed to erect and establish a special place of worship, what we know as the Beit HaMikdash. And in that Beit HaMikdash, you're supposed to bring your sacrifices. You're supposed to bring the different foods that are supposed to be eaten only there. You'll have a special place for the service of Hashem. Until this point, anytime they wanted to eat meat, they had to eat it as a sacrifice to Hashem. Now Hashem is saying, you'll have a temple. You're not allowed to bring sacrifices external to the temple. So what about eating meat? So you'll be allowed to eat meat. That is not a sacrifice, because sacrifices will have to be brought by the temple, and you'll be living all over the land of Israel. You won't always be able to migrate to the temple, and you will want to eat meat, so you'll be able to eat meat without bringing it as a sacrifice. The Torah then goes on to tell us that there can be such a thing as a false prophet who makes all kinds of miracles, and don't worry about his miracles, it's all a test. Don't follow him. If he's contradicting the Torah, you must execute him and not follow him. The Torah goes on to tell us the din of amesis. What happens if a Jew tries to persuade his fellow man, his wife, or someone else to go serve idols? So he's called amesis. He's trying to encourage you to leave the fold. So he gets the death penalty. What happens if a whole city decides that they're all leaving Judaism? So we have a special mitzvah of Ir HaNidachas to wipe out that city. Special laws of how you verify that that's really what's going on, etc. And then the Torah goes on to describe the different animals and birds that we're allowed to eat and different fish, and the signs of which fish are kosher, if they have fins and scales, etc. The enumeration of the birds that are not kosher and every other bird is kosher. We have the commandment of the three festivals, the festivals and the mitzvah of Shemitah, and that brings us to the end of Parshas Re'eh. So we summarized Parshas Re'eh in about 12 points, right? Now we're up to Shoftim. You guys with me so far? Okay. Shoftim. So the Parsha begins with the commandment of setting up righteous judges. The Parsha continues that if we find someone who's serving idol worship, so we have to execute him. Notice there's a strong focus throughout the book of Devarim about idol worship, because this was our challenge for the next few centuries. We have the commandment that if we have doubts, then we have to go up to the temple, and that's where we have our high court, our supreme court, and one who goes against the supreme court can get the death penalty. We have the mitzvah of establishing a king and the limitations of a king, that the king isn't supposed to be too hori, and therefore he's limited in how much wealth and horses and armies, etc., he can amass. The Torah then tells us the laws of what Kohanim and Levim get. The Torah then goes on to tell us how the nations, they go to their different sources, to sorcerers to find out the future, but we will have prophets, and we have a commandment to listen to the prophets. And then the Torah tells us how we validate a prophet. We have the mitzvah of cities of refuge and setting them up so that people know how to find the cities of refuge. The Torah tells us laws of testimony, the laws of Eid Zomim, and then we go on to the laws of war, how we go out to war, and how we have a special kohen and special policemen who give us instructions before we go to war. And we have directions of how to go to war, that we first greet a city with peace. We offer them to make a peace treaty on our terms. If they don't want to make a peace treaty on our terms, then we're allowed to fight them and destroy them. But we always begin with offering them peace. Of course, it means they'll be subservient to us, they'll pay taxes, they have to accept the Noahide laws, etc. But we have to offer them peace. We have the mitzvah of Baal Tashchis, not destroying trees that are fruit-bearing trees for nothing. And the parasha ends with the mitzvah of Egla Rufa. If we find a person that's been murdered, we don't know who the murderer is. So the Torah tells us there's a whole procession we do to make note that a person just didn't die without making note. And this whole procession is supposed to arouse people to offer testimony if anyone heard or saw anything. We're up to Parshas Kisetze. Kisetze is a tremendous enumeration of mitzvot. It begins with the mitzvah of Eshes Yifas Tor. If one falls in love with a girl of a foreign nation during war, the way in which he could wed her. Then we go on to the laws of inheritance and not singling out one son over the other, but going by the book. And the laws of Binsor Umora, the rebellious son. We then have a tremendous enumeration of laws. Not to leave a person hanging overnight. Having compassion over a person's animal, if we see an animal suffering, to help unload the animal, to give back a person's lost item. A man may not wear women's clothing, women can't wear men's clothing. The mitzvah of Shiluach Haken, that you don't take a mother and a child together when you're taking a bird. The mitzvah of Ma'ake, not to leave a place of danger in your home. Anything that's dangerous has to be removed, or we have to ensure it's not a danger. The din of kilayim, not to mix plantings, not to mix animals, not to wear clothing of shatnez, the mitzvah of wearing tzitzis, the laws of divorce, this is the first time they show up. So we have many, many mitzvot in Kisetze. I don't think we should go through them. We should go through them. We'll go through them in Parshas Kisetze. But in our summary, we'll have to just quickly go over it. The law that if a person's working with food, so you have to let him eat from the food he's working with. The the laws of when the courts can give lashes, and at the end of the parasha we have the mitzvah of Amalek, that we have a mitzvah to remember what Amalek did to us and take him to task for what they did once we establish a king. Parshas Ki Sovo, the Torah tells us the mitzvah of Bikurim when we come to the land of Israel. So we take from the first fruits of the seven species, we put them in a basket, we go up to the temple and we bring it to the kohen, and we have this whole proclamation: God, thank you for giving us the land of Israel and the wonderful fruits of the land of Israel. We show appreciation, we don't take the land for granted. We then have the mitzvah of Vidui Maiser, that at the end of the third year, we come and we proclaim, it's really the fourth year, we proclaim, thank you, God, I've fulfilled my obligations of the tithe, etc. The Torah goes on to tell us Moshe's commandment to the Jewish people: watch the Torah when you enter the land of Israel, establish the stones in which you write the Taryag Mitzvos. We have special stones on which we write the Taryag Mitzvos. We wrote it in 70 languages for all the nations. Moshe Venu then tells us which nations are on which of the two mountains, and he enumerates the different curses that we have to say. Cursed is one who does A, B, C, and D, and blessed is he who does such and such and such. And then Moshe Rabbeinu tells us, if you keep the mitzvahs, things will go well, and if not, and he enumerates all the curses of how bad things can become if we don't follow the Torah. And these are the curses that we read 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah, with the concept that our sages taught us, Tichle shana v'kilotea. We want to finish the year and leave all the curses behind. Let the year end with all the curses that the year brought. They should stay behind in last year. A new year should be a year of blessing. We're up to Parshas Nitzavim. Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jews, he gathers them all together, and he tells them, today you've made it. God is taking you as his nation, and we're going to make a treaty, a special pact, that we're responsible for one another. This is Arvus. We took mutual responsibility for one another. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, we now take responsibility. We're no longer living in privacy. Once we enter the land of Israel, we're responsible for one another. If one Jew sins, it can affect everyone. So once we know about it, we have to care about it. And Moshe Rabbeinu warns, what happens if one Jew decides, I don't believe in all of this, but he does it in private. So God says, I'll take him to task. That's my responsibility. Moshe Rabbeinu warns us, when we're exiled, our job is to do tshuva. To say, okay, I understand why God did this to us. So I have to do tshuva. And then we have the promise, if we do tshuva, God says, I'll take you back. I'll bring you back to the land of Israel. Nitzavim is a short parasha. Moshe Rabbeinu gives them a pep talk. He says, you should know that you can do it. These mitzvahs aren't up in heaven. They aren't at a distance. They're by you. And here Moshe Rabbeinu teaches us the principle that we have two Torahs. He says, you have it, it's in your mouth and in your hearts. So we have the Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu warns us, keep the mitzvahs, things will go well, and I'm warning you, if you don't, you'll be exiled from the land of Israel. You have a choice of life and death. Please choose life. Love Hashem and keep His mitzvahs. Parshas Vayelech, Moshe Rabbeinu gathers them and he says, that's it, today's my last day. I've been with you, I've reached 120, I'm 120 years old today, it's over, God told me I'm not entering the land of Israel, God will lead you into the land of Israel, just like He destroyed Sihon and Og, these tremendous kings, so too He will destroy the kings of Israel. Be strong, don't be scared of them, God is with you. He calls Yahushua and he tells him, you're going to lead them, God is going before you. And Moshe writes down the whole Torah, he writes it for the 13 Sifrei Torah, one for each tribe and one that remains in the tent. Moshe Rabbeinu commands them the last mitzvah of the Torah, the mitzvah of Hakel, that once every 7 years we're all supposed to gather, and the king reads before us the Torah. Moshe is told by Hashem, that's it. Now it's your last day, you're almost going to die, bring Yahushua, and now you're going to give him the leadership. And God appears, and God tells Moshe, you're going to die, and the Jews will sin. They're going to go and serve idols. And then I will hide myself from them. And then they'll recognize, you know why things are so bad? Because we've left God. And I'll hide myself from them because of their sins. So write down this song so that they all know it. and they'll know to recognize how to come back. And this song is testimony for the Jewish people. I warned them that if they sin, they will be exiled. And that is the famous song of Hazinu. And the song of Hazinu, Moshe Rabbeinu really gives testimony, and he says, you have a choice. Be smart and keep the Torah, and if not, you will be exiled. That's in a nutshell the song. Obviously, there's a lot of poetry in this song. And if they'd be smart, then they'd recognize that the fact that the nations won them has nothing to do with their might. It has to do with the vengeance of God. And therefore, they will repent and come back. And when they repent, so then God says, okay, I will avenge everything that's been done to them. Moshe concludes, and he tells them, take note, this is what you'll teach your children, this Torah. This is your key for longevity on the land of Israel. And God tells him, time to go up to the mountain of Nebo, and you'll take a look at the land of Israel, and you will pass away. And that brings us to Parshas Bezos HaBracha, in which Moshe gives a private blessing to each tribe. Each tribe gets their blessing. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up the mountain. He sees all the land of Israel. He passes away. God buries him. And the Jewish people mourn Moshe's death for 30 years. For 30 days. And then Yoshua, he leads them. He's taken the leadership. And the Torah ends with the fact that there was no prophet like Moshe Rabbeinu. And that is a quick overview of the book of Devarim.